Okay, so welcome. And we're here to, this class is really about, well, we're going to look at Samyama again, Samyama technique. And we're also in the second half, we're going to look at a new form of, well, not new, but a new to the graduate program form of meditation to work directly with the Kundalini energy. So anyone can do either of these, whether it's your first session or whether it's your 100th or 1,000th graduate program session. I would just ask that if you are new, then you would go and watch the original Samyama class also and read the notes. It's really important to read the notes in the previous class that we did, I think about a month ago on this, just so that there's an understanding of how to pace the practice. And also the same with the Kundalini work that we'll do in the next hour after we'll do this and then take some questions. And then we'll have a quick break and we'll come back and do the Kundalini meditation. And then we'll do the Samyama Sutras at the end of the meditation. And with Samyama and Kundalini work directly, they're much the same, really. We're just coming at it from different angles. And the aim of it really is to work more directly with what's already occurring, which is that we're starting to move away from thoughts, starting to have more free life force, and really coming to understand what it means to be the infinite self. So anyone can do these with the caveat that if you have some physical challenges in the body, some illness, some disease, some chronic condition, that you introduce anything new very slowly out of respect for the body, because each thing that we introduce is going to clear some blockages in the nervous system, in the chakra system, in the meridians. And some people have reported, since we started doing the Samyama work, some kind of nausea, vomiting, headaches, things like that, which are fairly normal, unpleasant, but it's the toxin in the cells, toxins from the effects of fear, from feeling that we're a separate being, which have been in our body, in our tissues, in our cells for so long. You might not have experienced that at all. You might have experienced nothing negative at all. It doesn't mean it's not working. It is. Everyone's body responds differently to every different practice. So you don't have to do any Samyama or Kundalini work at all. You can if you want to. It's really only if you feel aligned with it. So Samyama, just as a quick introduction, is really a process of working with, as we realize who we are, then there's more stillness, peace in our inside our body and mind as well. We're coming to a realization of who we are. And with that, we're letting go more and more thoughts. So we are able to have more free life force energy. What that means is things are going to start to manifest in and as our life quicker, much faster. Whether it's something we want or something we don't want really makes no difference to that process. So that's why we do lesson two of the course, to make sure that what we're going to receive or see manifesting is what we actually want, letting go of beliefs that are still blocking, slowing down, impeding the flow. So life force energy is always moving from formlessness into form. Formlessness is always moving into form, continuous, constant. You can't stop it. And the only thing we can look at is to give, as human beings, we have the opportunity to sculpt how that's moving into form consciously. No other species on this planet has. And the sutras that we use in Samyama are a way to do that. And a sutra is just, it means to stitch together. It means to join. So it's really a way to join the formless and the form, to move it seamlessly into form. So we focus on a word, and then we drop after our meditation when we're feeling quite peaceful and still. We think that word very loosely. So I use the first one here as an example, the word love. doesn't need any explanation, love. Your mind will want to. What does that mean? What does that mean? What kind of love? What? Why am I just saying love? But the self that you are already knows, the infinite self already knows the fullest meaning of that word. So love, you just think it inside. You don't verbally externalize it like I'm having to do for the sake of explaining. And then you just let it go. You form that word and then you let it go into the stillness. That's Samyama technique. First, we've got a basic list of sutras. We've got another list as well, more advanced if you want to start with those. Again, at your own pace, slowly, slowly, and with respect for the body. And we repeat the basic list once, and then when you've got used to that, you can do it again in the evening, in the morning and evening, or whenever you meditate. And then eventually you can increase to twice in your morning meditation. So you say love, drop it. And then 15 seconds later, love, and you drop it and you go through. And all this is on that first basic video, so please do watch that. And then as you feel ready, you can add in sutras from the list, some of which we'll talk about today. The list is on the page, the Samyama page. So one thing, what I wanted to talk about today with this class, this hour, is how the practice deepens, because we've been applying it now for a while and you'll be able to refine it based on what's happening in your experience. So if you are noticing physical symptoms arising from since you've been doing the Samyama practice, it's showing you where in the body the symptoms are, showing you which chakra we're working on, unblocking meridians and the physical tissues of the body that are affected by that. So if you felt nausea, then really it's about our desires. It's about the solar plexus sitting in the real seat of power, which is that the understanding that my desire is the desire of the infinite self. The self has desires when it takes a human form, when it makes a human shape. And that, you know, my will and thy will are one, basically. That's the full healing of the solar plexus. It's okay to want what I want because it's what the self wants. And because I want it, it's already in manifestational progress and process. I don't have to make it happen. That's the full understanding. And there are similar ones for other chakras, which I don't have time to go into right now. Maybe if we want, we can talk about that later. So doing the basic list of sutras, so love and radiance and healing, etc. Some of those may have started to jump out at you, and maybe some from the advanced list too. So there were days for me when I started doing this where there was just this strong urge to stay with one sutra in the middle of my practice. So there was a day when I was just obsessed with the Radiance Sutra, just obsessed. Like it would not leave my attention. It kept popping back in there and saying itself. It just kept coming like almost like an internal mantra that just would not disappear for a day. And then from the other list, I was completely obsessed with the Renunciation Sutra, with breath. I think I've gone through some kind of obsession with all of them. And that's happening for a reason, because there's something in that sutra that really wants you to kind of focus upon it, to allow it to manifest. And what we're really doing with the sutra practice is developing a yogic skill that yogis have mastered, which is the ability to concentrate on something for a length of time, long enough to realize it fully. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean hard work. It doesn't mean thinking about something. It doesn't mean concentrating. If you took a dilute, here we have like dilute squash cordial juice, whatever you call it, and you put a little bit in a glass and then fill the rest up with water, then you've got a certain strength of that drink. If you were to put more in and less water, it'd be more concentrated. So you haven't done any hard work. It's just stronger. There's more of it. So the sutra might start to come on its own, might be very insistent that you pay attention. And you might find yourself puzzling about it, curious about it outside of your practice, your formal practice. You might find you accidentally stumble across something written about it or something similar, something that deepens your understanding. And it doesn't matter which sutra that is, and it'd be different for each of us. And it'll just be one that's more interesting than the others, maybe, or maybe there's five or six, or maybe the whole list. Like, I want to know what these are. Like, this desire, this urge of what the infinite self knows. There's this desire for it to come into the mind and body and to be lived in a fullness of experience. So we could call this concentration. We could also call it contemplation. So contemplation is ability to ask a question, at least in these teachings, and stay with that question long enough to fully resolve the issue, not getting caught on any of the particular answers that come up. There's no special answer, there's no right answer, there's no wrong answer. And it's the same here with the sutras. What we're really doing is contemplating on the sutras, holding attention on it. What we're really asking is, what is love? And it begins to flow, or radiance, or health, or abundance, or inner sensuality, or whatever sutra we're obsessed with. What are the elements? What are whichever sutra that you feel aligned with? So it has a yogic name, this as well. It's called Samadhi. And Samadhi, Samadhi, is one of those words in yoga, like yoga, that has about 60 million different meanings depending on the context. So this meaning applies to what I'm talking about here. Samadhi is the end point of meditation and concentration and contemplation, where they kind of all, where I'm just so completely obsessed with something that I lose my separation from it and I become it. It becomes me, which is really what we're doing. We're doing Samadhi on the infinite self when we meditate. We're literally holding attention on the self long enough, consistently, until I say become it, but we begin to live as it. We realize it. That's what realization is, where I start to become, I start to live as that. So Samadhi, don't be scared of that word. It's just a kind of an intense focus where something is suddenly super important and all my mind's thoughts are about that. It's obsessed about it. And you'll notice this happening more and more as you sort of get deeper into the pathway, especially once we start to introduce some Samyama techniques and other things. We'll introduce this Kundalini work later. And then after I get back from my summer break, we'll do some, introduce also some pranayama breathing techniques to increase it even more. So, and again, this is all optional. If you're happy with the pace as it is, totally okay. I suspect that you're all a bit like me and can't get enough of it quick enough. So that being said, just let's just respect these processes. These yogic techniques are extraordinarily powerful. Let's not be scared of them, but let's just remember our body's playing catch up. So it has to release some things. So listen to your body if it's telling you enough's enough for today. And then we won't have to slow down our practice because we've overdone it. So we want consistency more than anything with these. So starting something very slowly and being able to keep it going consistently and then speeding up as your body gets more and more attuned to the higher energy is better. Starting off really quick and then having all this stuff come up is karmic patterns, because it will bring up your karmic patterns for you to apply lesson two to. So if you're not willing or ready or able to apply lesson two completely yet, then you might find that you have to just step back from your practice a little bit. But I am here to help as always, so please do ask. So what may happen is, and it's also mentioned in Yogani's book, Cultivating, well, it's actually the Samyama, Cultivating Stillness and Miracles. As you're using the sutras, you're going to begin to feel much more energy. It's going to begin to unblock your nervous system. Fear, shame, especially really low frequencies, apathy, they really just kind of dam up the flow. And you're going to begin to feel what has been called Kundalini, prana, life force, flowing or trying to flow up the spine, and it'll want to come to the third eye, the Ajna, brow, called all of those chakras, the will center, it's also being called, if you know that one. So I'm just going to call it the third eye because it is the third eye. It's the center of insight and intuition, seeing seeing other dimensions, other things that are not physical. All of that is happening at the third eye when it's unblocked. So don't be scared of this energy as it starts to move. There is a lot of misinformation, which has led to a lot of fear about Kundalini work, and it is absolute nonsense. If you Google Kundalini, you'll get some really useful resources. You'll also get some complete and total rubbish. So just go with your own experience and remember Kundalini, like anything, we're going to experience what we think about it. And the internet is full of people who are scared of Kundalini energy, reporting their experiences rather than the actual experience of Kundalini rising, which is a natural evolutionary process that happens in human beings, happens effortlessly, stably and safely after self-realization, which is why we do the four lessons. Also, we continue to study always the four lessons, so that our mind is a framework for what's going on. And you begin to see just how much energy has been tied up in these thoughts, especially the thought that we're a separate being. About 95% of life force in the body is tied up in that one belief because it is so anti-reality. What does it mean? It takes 95% of ourself to keep sustaining this thought that I'm a separate being. So this energy begins to be liberated. This is enlightenment, right? Enlightened of our beliefs that are holding us down, and liberation from these particular thoughts. Or moksha, which is freedom, whatever you want to call it. So as you work with the sutras and you do more repetitions, you begin to feel energy moving, totally normal. You'll also might become aware of where it's blocked, totally normal. So just a gentle intention, I'd like to unblock this area. I'd like to see what this is. So just a seeing. You also might not feel anything at all. It's also very common that you feel nothing for some time in terms of stuff moving around in the system. As Samyama and especially as Kundalini work deepens, you begin to feel like you're transported to a kind of different, a total different level of reality, even while you're walking around in your physical body still. Everything's still the same, but it's just intensely real. And there'll be this uprising of bliss, which bliss is just really the outcome of really feeling utterly safe and utterly worthy, so worthy and safe that they've never been in question because I know who I am. And that will also arise as joy much faster, a deep, deep, profound, completely, I don't really know what word to use, but I'm just going to say love. For all of existence, all that could ever exist, you know what something is even before you encounter it. And there's no need to be scared of anything because there isn't anything to be scared of. And that with that, this bliss and this joy, this love arise, sometimes even ecstasy, where, you know, usually that kind of happens when you've got some time to sit. But again, don't be scared of any of these things. They're the natural state of a human being. and you learn to adjust, eventually you can walk around in such bliss, states that other people would just be unconscious in, like they're just like, you're just quietly walking around your life and nobody knows what's going on because you just adjusted bit by bit to this ever-increasing bliss, still increasing for me. Every time he takes a jump, this thought goes through my mind, oh God, there's no way I'm going to be able to function like this. Every single time that thought goes through my mind still. And I just laugh at it now because I know the body, there's utter respect for the body. It has immense capacity to take this energy and use it, and it will begin to flow outwards into your life, begin to affect people around you even more profoundly. And that's what we're doing with the sutras here, really, just to enhance that and sculpt it consciously. So that being said, I have some questions that have been sent in. I'm going to read these out. There's four or five of them, and then I'll open it up for questions here about the Samyama technique. We'll do the Kundalini afterwards, and then I'll have a Q&A session later in the month, maybe, or next month, about Kundalini. So I'll take questions live, but I'd like them to be on this subject, please, for this class. So this first one says, hi, Helen. When I start the Samyama practice, I find my breathing changes. I forget to take a breath. I realize I'm running out of air. Then I take a deep breath, and it feels unnatural, labored, and sometimes a big breath. Sometimes a short, shallow breath. It seems difficult to breathe naturally. So my attention seems to be on the breathing rather than on the silence. This seems to continue throughout the practice each day and stops when the practice stops. What would you recommend? So far, I just keep taking my attention back to the word and then the silence where possible. Much love. So there's two things I want to say about this. Have you noticed how it starts the moment you start the practice and it stops the moment you stop the practice? There's two things happening here. One is your mind is doing whatever it can, your egoic sense of self, to stop you from doing this practice because it thinks it can. It thinks you're someone choosing to do it. So this panic running out of air is it's one of its best tricks. And you can tell it's resistance because it stops the moment that you stop the practice. So that would be a major sign there, a flag. So you can just reassure your mind and say, you know, it's okay. This is safe, and this is going to help you, and this is going to take some burden off your mind, you know. So you can talk to it like it's a little toddler that's trying to grab attention, because that's what it's doing. It's just trying to protect your mind. So we don't need to make it the enemy. So the other thing that's actually occurring is we've never, ever, usually human beings have never actually taken a proper breath in our entire existence. Maybe when we were very, very small. But the moment we began to think, then the breath begins to, breath, prana, life force, all are really the same thing. Attention and breath and prana and life force are all the same thing. So the moment thoughts begin to speak and attention goes to it, then we're into the world of phenomena. And as soon as we start to believe thoughts, there's a separation, a duality, which lowers the life force in the body. And it's impossible to breathe properly from there. So what actually starts to occur with Samyama practice and the Kundalini work is we actually start to breathe properly. We find also in any deep meditation, the meditation we're doing in lesson one, when we get really deep in our meditation, our breathing slows right down. Begin to breathe much slower, much deeper. If you watch a baby breathe, they have their stomach moves as well as their chest. And the stomach moving, the diaphragm moving on the inhale is like a bellows. And as the stomach moves out, it sucks air in through the system, through the lungs. You can try it now, right? If you just As you breathe in now, just extend your belly outwards, not forcing it, just as far as your lungs. So your chest and your belly should move together. In, out. Inhale, exhale. So if you do that, and your belly moves, then you'll find you get a fuller exhale, a fuller inhale, excuse me, and a fuller exhale. And because you're getting all of your lung capacity, you don't need to breathe as often. Mostly what we call breathing is just this shallow thing that we do with our chest. And our stomach is usually squeezed tight with fear. And for me, this was really profound when I realized, like, I've never actually breathed properly in my entire existence. And there was this beautiful falling back in love with just actually taking a decent breath. And what a gift to give to the body. And then as you exhale, just slightly squeeze. And you'll also find, we'll go into this in more detail later, but that also what will occur is pausing. There's a proper Sanskrit name for it. It just happens by itself, but we don't need to go into that. Or we can later, but for sake of time, a pause will naturally begin to occur at the maximum point of inhale. So not holding the breath, not like this. It's just, and whether that pause is half a second, 30 seconds, it doesn't matter. But as you get used to your full lung capacity and the effect that has on the body, so healing, so calming, it switches us back from fight or flight into everything's okay. just by making sure our belly moves, pretty much everything in our life will fix itself. Everything, every karmic pattern we've got is a result of fear, separation. And mostly that is due to the fact that we just don't breathe properly, or we don't breathe properly because we're scared. Our natural tendency is to hold our breath. And we're doing that all the time. But in the natural flow, we inhale more, out, exhale more. Words are funny, aren't they? And we don't need to breathe as often. So you're finding in some of your practice, breath stops. In deep meditation, it stops. We stop breathing and we don't die. And I remember coming out, the first time this happened to me, I remember coming out of a deep meditation and just, I was just aware I hadn't taken a breath in a long time. So I was like, oh, I haven't taken a breath in a long time. And then mind said, oh my God, you know, I haven't taken a breath in a long time. But the first understanding was that's totally normal. And there's yogis that can park their body up and leave it. Christ did it. He got out and walked. It took 3 days. They called it crucifixion. He took 3 days holiday and then came back and got back in it and carried on, you know. It's very common, but it's not common knowledge, so to speak, that occurs. So the breath's just slowing down and finding its natural rhythm. Mind doesn't get that. It freaks out and says, oh, I'm going to run out of oxygen. But in the absence of a doer, in the deep, deep meditation, if you need to breathe, you will. If you don't, you won't. You do it all the time, right? You know, if you're driving somewhere and you're just enjoying the drive, you might suddenly realize, I haven't really sort of taken a breath in quite some time. But that begins to occur more as you get used to this yogic breathing, they call it. Very simple thing, just to breathe from your belly and your chest together so that your whole torso is moving outwards and inwards gently, not forcing more of an inhale. You're not trying to expand your lung capacity. You're just using all of your lung capacity. And that saturates the body, the tissues with oxygen, helps remove the byproducts of respiration, lactic acid, carbon dioxide, toxins of fear, all of that, so that the body just feels calmer anyway. So, hi Helen, thanks so much for your timeless devotion. I wondered if you could share with us what inner sensuality is. Also, perhaps any comments on the first 8 words. There were descriptions accompanying the future Samyama technique words, but not the first eight. Thank you. Well, that's done for a reason, because I want you to find out what the Love Sutra means to you and Radiance. I did give a description on that first video of inner sensuality, so I suggest going back and looking at that. Just very quickly, the other list has descriptions on it, just to give you a little background of like elements. What does that sutra actually do? Breath, renunciation, there's the pole star, there's the sun, all of that might not be obvious at first glance, but I'd really rather you find out yourself, and I wouldn't want to do anything that would diminish that joy for you to actually find out how these sutras really, what the sutra love actually means, or health. Like, what does health actually mean? What is abundance? So I've deliberately not done that, because it'd be like, I've got you a million Christmas presents. They're all wrapped up under the tree. Each one of them is going to be delightful. And it took me ages to wrap them all. And I know you're going to love each one of them. But I'm going to tell you what each one of them is, so you're not surprised when you open them. And you really want mommy to do that, would you? As much as you think you want to know, you don't actually. You want to discover. So I know that may be frustrating, but you'll thank me afterwards, I promise. Inner sensuality might just be a little challenging. So we're all addicted to sense experience, aren't we, human beings? We're addicted to experiencing things through our senses. So the taste of that chocolate cake is more enticing than the recognition of the enjoyer of that experience. Nothing wrong with eating chocolate cake, of course. But if all of our attention is on that external object and not the enjoyer of it too, like, oh, this feels so, I'm so enjoying this. I am so enjoying this. Then we'll have to keep eating cake for the same experience. And we realize we're more in love with the enjoyer, the one who's really tasting the sense experiences. Then we begin to cultivate this kind of inner sensuality, which is, I love the feelings inside. I'm more obsessed with peace and bliss and joy and all of those goodies that we get from awakening, deep, deep, deep stillness, quietness, peace, calm, you know, all those nice things we begin to feel. So this sutra is going to bring about a withdrawal of, not withdrawal from the senses. You can enjoy the cake, but you realize what the cake gives you is an opportunity to focus on who you really are, the enjoyer of all of this. Same when we drink alcohol, when we smoke, when we do anything, when we have sex, anything. It's really the way it makes us feel inside that we like. And if we're addicted to sense pleasures, nothing wrong with sense pleasures, nothing wrong with living life, perfect. Have the best experience you can, but don't be addicted to them. Get addicted to meditation instead and joy and, you know, to experiencing ever more. And that's what the inner sensuality is going to give you. Most human beings spend their entire existence, not you guys, because you're obviously on the path, but their entire existence focused on what's going on through their senses, and none in here at all, none. And all of that is going to go. This isn't. So the inner sensuality is just kind of helping you do this. So you don't have to have a boost from something external to make you feel better. Hi, Helen, could you talk a little about the Samyama technique and step two, inside the glass, outside the glass metaphor, particularly with the reference of inner sensuality? Yes, it could be any word on the list. Thanks so much. Well, I think actually I've just answered that in terms of, we think pleasure is on the outside of the glass. Pleasure is just a dim reflection, a distortion of joy. Nothing wrong with pleasure at all. I'm not saying that. Please don't think I'm saying that. But when you realize that that's a drop in an infinite ocean, the best orgasm you ever have will never come close to how you can feel all the time inside as you really, again, have nothing against sex. Hopefully that's clear by now. And orgasm, it's all good. But they're reflections, they're pale reflections of who you can, what you can really feel inside. By recognizing that the reason we like doing and having and imbibing and ingesting things is because of the way it makes us feel inside. So hopefully that previous question's answer, I really can't talk today, has explained your question too. Number four, what time are we on? So I've got two more here, which won't take very long. So if anybody would like to ask any questions on this, I'll take up to four. Hopefully we can get through it fairly quick. Feel free to raise your hand. In the Samyama book by Yogani, at the back you have extra sutras. Number 21, it's breath, exit from the body at will. Could you comment on this with regards to leaving the body through the crown chakra and choosing the time and place to leave the body? So as you work with the breath sutra, I see, Robin, you've got your hand up. Shall I come to you? Is this what you're asking about, this one? Or is it something else?
Well, it's this one. I'm also want to ask about the cosmic samyama, which is sort of connected to this, experiencing the body as unbounded and being stabilized in unbounded consciousness. That's my question, yeah.
All right, well, I'll answer the fifth one, and I'll come to you and answer this.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks.
So the last one is, hi, Helen, I'm using your spoken recording for the Samyama practice. After the eight words, the timer is still counting down for 5 minutes. Is that still a formal meditation bit, or is that the bit where you rest and do nothing spiritual, etc.? Yeah, it's the rest period afterwards. So if you do any yoga posture, any yoga asana, there's always this period afterwards of where you just rest and let the body absorb the fullness, get the full benefit of what you've just done. If you do your sutra practice and then go straight into the rest of your life, or straight into thinking thoughts again, or any other spiritual practice, you're going to miss out on the benefits of the sutra. I mean, they're not lost. You're just not going to feel the profundity of the practice. So we always advise this 5 minute rest period. And you might find at first that you're extraordinarily tired after Samyama, and that you just want to actually physically rest and sleep in that. So, okay. So Robin, you wanted me to comment on leaving the body with the breath sutra and the crown chakra. Okay, so the breath sutra is, it gives you external immunity from external things. So nothing in the external world can affect you, impervious to anything, any harm from there, which is all kind of groovy. But it is what we've always saying yesterday in the class two that we had. So the breath is closer to you than you are, than your body is to you. As we work with the breath sutra, you're going to begin to realize that you are more like the breath than anything. You're not someone, a fixed solid entity living in the body, that you exit and enter the body all the time. You usually just do it when you're not consciously aware of it. So the breath sutra, the breath, the attention, breath, attention, life force are all the same. So when I inhale now, I'm really breathing in. I'm breathing in oxygen in the air, but what I'm really breathing in is prana, life force. And if I can begin to identify as the breath more than the body, the breath, why can't I leave the body as easily as the breath does? I exhale, out I go, inhale, in I go. And could it do just as easy as this? The breath sutra will teach you this. Obviously, you don't want to exit through the mouth and the nose, but point is that you are already insubstantial, even as an individual soul. And when you realize that you leave the body, it'll show you, start to give you consciousness of the fact that you leave the body every single time you fall asleep, every single time. And then you enter it. That's why the body falls asleep, because you've left it. You park it up, it shuts itself down, like sleep mode on your laptop or whatever. And then when you're ready to come back in, or when you're distantly aware of your alarm clock going off, you come back into the body and you say, I woke up. But because we're so obsessed with the physical body as human beings, we've got very little capacity to actually remember what happens in between those hours. So the breath sutra is going to give you that. Once you begin to realize that you exit the body at will, usually through the third eye or the solar plexus chakra, that it's really just a learning of a samadhi ability to concentrate long enough on the crown chakra to leave the body then. So Robin, if you want to ask about that and your other question, feel free.
Yes, thank you. Just to clarify what you said at the very beginning, so you're, as well as another question, so you're saying that it's okay just to focus on, let's say, two or three sutras, the ones that you're excited about, and you could do them, because in the book they talk about doing one sutra for like 5 minutes if you're very interested in that. Is that correct? Is my understanding correct from what you said?
Yeah, and you can focus on one. Yogani says, you know, focus on Akasha or lightness of air, whatever, or whichever one really pulls at you. And I did that. And then I began to realize that it's not so much about repetition. It's more about intensity of interest. And as I started to understand, there was like this burning passion to understand this sutra. And I spent a whole day, and it wasn't a doing. It's just like this sutra just kept coming up in my mind as I was driving. It was the breath sutra, and then it happened again with the elements sutra. Well, a lot of them actually, where I thought, right, I'll focus on this for 5 minutes before the rest period. I'll do the others, and then I'll, you know, repeat this sutra internally for 5 minutes every 15 seconds. And it was like lighting some firework. It just would not go out of my consciousness then. It took on a life of its own, so to speak. And that's happening for a reason, isn't it, when something like that occurs?
Okay, thank you, Helen. So, you know, my last question is, you know, they describe in the book what they call cosmic samyama, which is a combination of yoga nidra and samyama, where you put your attention on each part of the body, as you say, the sutra. And this is supposed to give you the experience of the body being unbounded and also to stabilize in unbounded awareness. Yeah. Could you comment on that? Have you tried that yourself personally?
Yep. Linda and I are recording a session on Tuesday. We're going to talk about this in more detail, cosmic samyama. It's absolutely a great practice to enhance your awakening. With the caveat that depending on what you've already just introduced, how many sutras you're already doing, when you have, if you're still experiencing a lot of karmic patterns coming up from the sutras you're already doing, I wouldn't recommend it yet until there's a more of a stabilized feeling, because the cosmic samyama is going to turn up the effect of what you're doing at least 10 times, maybe 100. So it's perfectly safe. It's just to understand that it's going to speed everything up. There's going to be a quickening in that. So you can just check that out with your body. Is this the right thing to do right now? And really, really listen to what your body says in that. It's a great enhancement overall to your samyama practice, and I'd highly recommend it. It does... initially, for most people, it does give them a very deep relaxation and tend to fall asleep after it. So it's probably not best done before you've got to get up and go to work, probably better in the evening once you're home from work, something like that, or when you've got some time to just rest afterwards. But highly recommended, yeah, just again with respect that it's gonna dial up everything you're doing spiritually. And we want to make sure this is an enjoyable experience rather than, you know, something that isn't.
Thank you, Helen.
You'll know, right? You'll just get this sense. Yeah, now's the time. and your body will give you feedback on that. Does that help?
Yeah, it does a lot. Thank you for answering those questions. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, so we'll take Claire and then Deb, and then we'll take a break. When you're ready, Claire.
Yeah, just a quick one. Can you hear me all right? Because my internet connection's really poor.
Yep, it's fine, yeah.
Oh, champion. Right, I've got to come clean. I do this every day with the 12 o'clock thing. But you speak so much about intention and how important that is. And really, I'm just doing this because you're introducing it to me. And totally I just love. Huh?
Totally okay.
But am I not missing out thinking, no, well, if I thought about it a bit more, I'm focusing so much on lesson 1 to 4. I don't want to read up on this.
Yeah, totally okay.
That but curiosity I haven't got any intention.
You have, you just don't realize you have. Why would you show up for the Samyama class if not?
But I'm not giving it any time, any mind time.
Intention isn't about time.
What is it then?
It's about desire and passion for full.
Oh, well, I've got plenty of that.
See? Told you. Yeah. So.
Right.
It's not about how much time I spend thinking about this, because that's mind. In fact, that's even a subtle resistance to it. If the thoughts arise spontaneously about a sutra and you suddenly become fascinated with it, that's perfect. And as you do the intention is there, it's perfectly there already in everyone in the graduate program, otherwise you wouldn't be in it. As the sutras begin to work, you'll find suddenly they get quite interesting, like, maybe this is the shortest shortcut of all to what's going on. Until then, there's still karmic patterns that got to be resolved, causality loops, there's resistance, there's fear in the system, which is dampening down your ability to recognize the intention. Doesn't mean it's not there. So it's all working. Wonderful. Deb? You're muted there still.
Yes, thank you.
Hi.
It's just caused me to sleep so well, especially in the evening. I have never slept so well ever for such a long time.
Yeah.
Doing the Samyama practice. And one thing, which is probably very basic because I've never done this before, but as we memorize them without the words, one night I was doing the Samyama practice and for the life of me, I couldn't remember radiance. And I kind of panicked thinking I was getting it all wrong and so on. But I don't know whether it was just a senior moment or something, but was there something significant if something stands out like that or doesn't stand out within your memory of trying to say the correct words and so on? So
yeah,
that's just my question.
It's a good one because I'm sure it happens to a lot of us. And what happens is we know them off by heart. If I came up to you and said, tell me the sutras when we're having a cup of tea, you'd be like, no, 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 no. But then suddenly you're in the practice. And as you're in the practice, resistance is coming up. And one of the ways resistance comes up and out is, oh, I can't remember. It's just gone. Like for the life of me, I cannot think of the next sutra. It's just, so if you notice that, you just kind of, it's just a little resistance and you're just absolutely fine. You just kind of wait for the next sutra to pop in. I'll remember it. It's okay because I don't need the resistance. I can let that go. And the moment you don't give it any meaning, it'll just kind of pop. And it's totally okay to just kind of open your eyes and look at your list again. Oh, yeah, radiance, you know. It doesn't really matter. But resistance pops up in many peculiar ways. And I suddenly don't seem to have time to do my practice today, or I've completely forgotten the list of sutras, or I suddenly feel really tired, like before I do it, not afterwards. You know, like the all these little sneaky, I've suddenly got this intense headache that I didn't have 30 seconds before, you know, and it's just one of the ways resistance is popping up. mind is always working to keep everything the same. It thinks, you know, that's what the resistance is, trying to keep things the same, because it thinks that's how it keeps you safe. So you just got to kind of catch it. Oh yeah, they you know. So you just notice it and take a breath, and then you go, I can let that resistance go, it's fine. And then you just go back into the list. And again, if you need to peek at the list, it's totally okay.
Okay, thank you.
I found if I had the list next to me, I didn't need to look at it. If I didn't have the list, I needed to look at it. You know what I mean, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Glad you're sleeping well.
Thank you.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of this. Let's take a let's take a 5-minute break. Let me just